Folks, are you concerned about American K through 12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
I think we've got a good job report. I'm happy to report that our economy has created over 300,000 new jobs last month. And that's on top of 500,000 jobs we added the month before. All told, we've created more than 12,000 jobs since I took office, nearly 8,000 of the manufacturing jobs. That means overall, we've created more jobs in 2 years than any administration has created in the first 4 years. And I think all this matters. It's no accident.
Except a huge chunk of those, as we were talking about, the government jobs. And in addition to that, wage still greatly lags behind inflation, a cost of living, because these policies have contributed to that. So this is... I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff here. Welcome to the show. Happy Friday to you. Dana Lashier with you. You're a lovable little curmudgeon. And nice little Friday to get started, get kicking. And we have the budget. We have a whole... I have a whole bunch of headlines about some... Because Congress is getting ready to go on their little break. We have some economic news. Also, where I have a ton of wokery. And in fact, interestingly enough, it's two of the dumbest woke stories that I have heard. Maybe this year.
That's saying something.
One of them is definitely one of the dumbest that I've heard this year.
That's saying something.
I know. Just wait. So Dana Lashier with you. Good to be with you. Top of this first hour this Friday. So right off the bat, I was listening. I listened to the president's remarks live on this. I got some questions. I don't know what numbers he's looking at. Wages still behind. Growth still at record low. And then I was reading this interesting write-up at the... let me pull this up. It was Wall Street Journal. And they were discussing how it's, you know, people are kind of survey proof. And it's difficult to even gauge any kind of, for the lack of a better way to put it, economic temperature, so to speak. Simply because it's, you know, people just, they're sort of survey proof. And the Wall Street Journal, they had this piece, and I'm opening this now. They had this piece that said falling survey response rates undermine economic data. And it talks about how there's this decline in a real measure of inflation in the job market. And it's skewing what is able to kind of be reported. At least that's what the Wall Street Journal is saying. Now, BLS says that, you know, it's their reports are based upon two surveys. They look at households and they look at businesses. And the people who are compiling all the data, they're worrying that there's, you know, this sort of, I guess, pushback or resistance to surveys, that they are wondering and questioning whether or not they can get reliable. So it actually might be worse than it is what I was reading out of this. So that's what I was looking at of this. But I think that they're going to look at this report, the Fed, and think that there's going to be a more of aggressive move. Wage growth is cooled still. You have the unemployment rate ticked up slightly. How many of these were government jobs, Kane?
15% federal. There was a percentage that were local government as well.
So, I mean, essentially like federal, municipal, I mean, state and local. Yeah. So, the government's growing faster, apparently, than ultimately it is. The government's growing faster than the private sector. That's kind of a terrifying thing. Good heavens. That is slightly terrifying. So this is the state of the economy. And Biden, he actually, one of the things that he was saying up there when he was speaking to the press on this, he was had his jobs remarks, and he only spoke for a couple of minutes, and he took one singular question. But he was saying that he was saying inflation was over this morning. He was saying that, oh, well, you know, inflation, we're not seeing it anymore. You're not seeing it anymore? I mean, this is nuts. How are you not seeing it anymore? Audio soundbite 29. Listen to this. This seems like an ad to me.
And on top of that, what they're really focused on, I saw here,
talk about Republicans.
It's kind of surprised me. They want to make sure we don't have enough IRS agents. Who are the IRS agents we had? They're going to check on the accounts. The super wealthy, which require a lot of time, a lot of agents to look at. They want to get rid of them. I don't know. They just have a very different policy. Anyway.
He did that earlier, too, when he said he's talking about Reagan, which we're going to address here coming up. He's like, you know, Reagan's tax rate, 28%. He leaned over and I cannot stand he thinks it's dramatic whispering. He just looks crazy. It's not just somebody to make him stop for the love of all things holy. So he was lamenting the Republican opposition to the addition of 87,000 IRS agents. And he's like, well, it's because all these rich people. They need a lot of accountants. So you got to have a lot of accountants to look at all the rich people. That's literally what he just said. That's what he was explaining in that. What in the world? No. So this is government jobs are expanding. And, you know, it was in the budget that he came out with yesterday, a massive pay raise for federal employees. It's like the largest pay raise in 43 years. For federal employees, it's a 5.2% raise. And this is expected to be what I think not since Carter, which is fitting. It's fitting that since Carter. Obviously, Republicans are going to oppose this. So this is it looks like it'll go into effect if this would even pass through the House. The salary boost looks like it would go into effect in January and it'd be the biggest pay increase and affect about 2.1 million. Federal employees. So that's and Democrats wanted more. Federal employee unions wanted more. I do not like government unions. Private sector unions, that's one thing, because people can choose and companies can choose and everyone gets a vote. But a public sector, a government union is literally nothing more than a politician and a union boss sitting down discussing how much they're going to shank the taxpayer for. So, no. Taxpayers do not get a vote. The middle class does not get a seat at that table. So, I have a big problem with this. Major problem with this, as you should as well. So, this, looking into all of it, this budget blowout, we talked about how much the debt, I mean, it's $5 trillion tax hike. And then you had the Silicon Valley Bank. Did you guys see this today? Because we're in a recession. They just won't say it. So Silicon Valley Bank is seized by regulators after a run on deposits caused the lender to collapse in the largest U.S. bank failure since the Great Recession. Panic over tech industry slowdown is now spreading to Wall Street. This is the 18th largest bank in the country in Santa Clara, California. So Silicon Valley Bank, the financial regulators came in. There was a run on all the deposits that tipped it into collapse. That's a big red flag to me. It was shut. They closed it down today. California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation. They protect the FDIC stuff as receiver. So they said that depositors will have full access to their insured deposits no later than Monday morning. And this I think assets of $212 billion. And it's a tech startup bank. It's typically for venture funds and tech startup for Silicon Valley. And they said shares of SVB dropped as 64% pre-market trading after slumping about 60% in previous session. when it disclosed plans to raise over $2 billion from investors to counter the $1.8 billion in losses from the sale of bonds. Troubling. So, kind of makes you want to put stuff in, I kind of want to bury stuff in my yard. So this is really, there's a lot of things at play here. There's a lot of things at play here. I mean, this, when you look at the, I think this is coming into not just a, we've seen a fight over speech. We've seen a fight over information distribution and messaging and all of that with tech companies. Government now would really love to control currency more so than, I'm not talking just like Department of Treasury level. They want to control, I mean, your, what you use as money, your money, and what you're doing with it. That's what this is all about. So we're going to get into this a little bit more as well. Now, as for the border, I saw the story last night. This is wild. So do you remember, this was the big story, you know, going into this week. It was the four individuals who went across the border in Matamoros, and they ended up getting hit by a cartel, and two of them were killed, two kidnapped, and then the two who were left, who were alive, were returned to the United States. They're apparently still in a hospital in Brownsville, Texas. So it was carried out by what they call the Gulf Cartel. And they had, of the Gulf Cartel, a subset group, five members called the Scorpions Group. And apparently it was five members of that little group, which is subordinate to the Gulf Cartel, that were the ones who carried out these kidnappings. There's a lot of questions over whether it was they mistook them for Haitian drug smugglers. That was one of the things that I'd heard. But then some of the family of the four were like, oh, well, they did drugs, you know. Maybe they were going down there for drugs. I mean, somebody just volunteered that to the press. So the wild thing about this is there, it was like the night before, five of these individuals were hogtied, their shirts pulled up over their heads, and they were left in the middle of the street by the cartel boss. And the cartel boss also left a handwritten note with them. This is crazy. They were in the center of Matamoros. This was Wednesday night. Hogtied, shirts over their heads, and they had a note from the bosses that was left with these henchmen apologizing for what had happened, which is wild to me. So they had these, the letter, and this is crazy, the letter, which they had, and I shared a picture of the individuals tied up in the newsletter, by the way, if you sign up for that. So they hogtied these guys. They said that the note said that the killers acted outside of cartel rules. That was their quote, cartel rules. And they said, the note was written in Spanish. They said, and for this reason, we've decided to hand over those involved and directly responsible for the facts who at all times acted under their own determination and in discipline and against the rules that the CDG, that's the Gulf Cartel, has always operated, respecting the life and integrity of the innocent. They said that, they added, the CDG apologizes to the Matamoran society, the relatives of Mrs. Arley, the American individuals and families affected. The CDG asks society to be calm because we are committed to not repeating those errors caused by indiscipline, and whoever is responsible will pay. Well, that's, I don't even know. Kane, I don't know where it's...
It's like they're more a responsible government entity than anybody else.
Than our own.
Right.
I mean, I just got to say it. We're going to talk a lot more about this. We have a whole bunch coming up. We have headlines on the way as well. So you want to make sure that you stick around for that. And we got a whole bunch. We still got to get into even more of the taxes. The woke story. I told you I got a crazy woke story. You don't want to miss it. March Meatness is here, and Good Ranchers has your chance to win free meat. Sign up and fill out your March Meatness bracket at goodranchers.com/March. And if your bracket is best, you win free 100% American Steakhouse quality meat for a year. Subscribe any day this month for free bacon added to your order and select your meat. Get free bacon. And if your bracket wins, it will all be free for the next year. And if you don't win, well, I mean, you still get free bacon with every order, and it's shipped free free straight to your door. So that sounds like a win-win. Order today and use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. A chance to win free meat, free bacon, and $20 off. It's madness. Head to goodranchers.com/march to sign up and fill out your bracket. Subscribe to claim free bacon and use code Dana for $20 off the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com/march and use code Dana. That's goodranchers.com/march. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
$600,000 worth of Hellcats stolen in literally under 60 seconds. It's just literally like gone in 60 seconds. Like, just, it is just that. This is wild. This took place in Kentucky, in Somerset, Kentucky. It was a Dodge dealership and brand new Hellcats, $600,000. And the dealership, according to Don Franklin Chrysler Dodge Jeep, apparently made it easier because they left the keys inside the cars. Why would you do this? Juan has for the simulcast of the radio show. He's got like actual security footage of them driving them out. Although they said four of the six stolen cars were retrieved in neighboring counties. One of them was recovered as far away as Alabama. Another one was discovered in Tennessee. Six Hellcats gone in 1 minute. That is crazy. And so National Crime Insurance Bureau, they said that annual car thefts across the country have exceeded a million for the first time since 08. And last year, thefts totaled around like 75,000. That's unbelievable. This hurts my heart because I love it. Ohio police are not going to press charges against those who allegedly chased and assaulted some conservatives on campus. This is from the Daily Caller. Erie County District's Attorney's Office is not pressing charges against people who mob conservative students. It was a Young Americans for Freedom, YAF, at an April 2022 event at the University of Buffalo. They said that there were three group members of YAF who were chased across campus by a swarm of 50 to 100 people, according to the student newspaper. The police investigated reports that the three students had been harassed for months by conducting interviews and reviewing security footage, but they couldn't identify the responsible individuals, probably because they weren't J6ers. Crazy. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy. I mean, they had to actually call 911 and be escorted to safety because people were screaming threats at them and, you know, trying to get a mob together to run at them. This was wild. In New York City, the rent has not gone down. In fact, it's gone up 18 months in a row. The median rent is over $4,000 a month. There was Cocaine Bear and now Cocaine Cat. Oh boy. An African serval cat was found with cocaine in its system at an escape after it escaped at a traffic stop. Now it's at the Cincinnati Zoo. It calls it home. This was wild. So it's a slender feline. It was pulled. The owner was pulled over by police. Apparently the animal had cocaine in it. I mean, it was coked out. Stay with us. Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowing Trees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
With the lab leak theory more prevalent, there's footage showing government officials like Dr. Fauci directly lying to you. With the continued mistrust of government officials on top of the lack of confidence in the FBI, where do we go from here and how does it affect you?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Finally, I'm so glad that Olena Zelenska is here because women are women and children are the primary victims of conflict and of climate change, and There is no place that...
I'm sorry. I have to interrupt her. This is so stupid. I'm so done with this. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Your anti-feminist curmudgeon. Obviously, that's Hillary Clinton. And I don't understand this line that somehow... What was it? That women are the primary victims of climate change? What the hell does that even mean? The weather affects us. Is that what that is? I was attacked by the weather.
My guess is that they think this climate change issue is, you know, a few years down the road. So they think that our kids are the only ones that are going to suffer from it. I think that's their thought process.
Well, she was saying that women and children, they were the primary victims of conflict and climate change. And I'm just like, how many dudes have dropped dead around you? Right. I mean, I think that, just saying, don't Vince Foster us, bro. I just can't. These are such empty. Do people actually sit there and the ones clapping like seals? Is there anyone who really believes this? Or are they just like, say whatever you need to. We know it's all BS. We just want everyone's money. That's all it is. Is that, you cannot honestly convince me that people are that. I mean, I understand some are, but not as many people as they think are stupid are actually stupid. Who sits there and applauds that? Oh, yes, women are so affected by climate change. There was a thunderstorm. It was really mad at me the other day. It didn't even rain on my husband. It was just me. It doesn't make sense. This is so stupid. You know what? Women are the primary victims of Democrats. How about that? So tight. This whole thing, International Women's Day, is it Women's Month?
It is.
Is it March is Women's Month?
Yes.
It actually is. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. The International Women. I don't know because I don't care. I think it's all lip service. The irony of telling everyone you need to celebrate Women's Month while telling women that they don't exist just is stunning. And the first lady wore probably horribly. She's short-waisted, so you can't wear, you know, the types of waist that Dolce & Gabbana do. And I realize that that's her favorite dress designer to wear, apparently, except for the Minecraft dress that she wore with these god-awful-looking tennis shoes. But I really have a problem with that. Don't, you know, get a dress for your body type. I'm just saying. Don't look frumpy. Don't look frumpy. But the way that she awarded, it gave this women's award to this dude. And then now you have all the marketing. Everyone makes this move. And apparently, if you don't kind of curtsy to the idea of Women's Month, then somehow you're sexist. But the audacity of the people who make up these fantasy rules are the same ones who tell you that if you don't accept men cosplaying as women, as actual women, then you're the bigot. It just doesn't make sense to me. You can't have it both ways. You have to pick a lane. Now, Juan asks a very, very good question. He asks whether or not men who identify as women, are they also disproportionately affected by climate change? That's a very good question. I mean, really? I mean, do you think that the weather is up there looking down at everyone going, that one's got a vagina. Let's get them. I mean, just wondering about all this. Just kind of wondering. It's interesting. Lorraine notes that she had said that in Ukraine, the women were allowed to evacuate and the women were not. So that kind of argues against the idea that they were somehow disproportionately impacted over that more so than men. Now, this, getting into all of this, you had the Glenn Youngkin. First off, I don't know why Republicans agree to do town halls with CNN. I can tell you a little something about CNN town halls. So Glenn Youngkin, governor of Virginia, CNN had a 17-year-old trans student stand up and ask Glenn Youngkin about school bathrooms. You need to listen to this.
Nico?
Governor Youngkin, your transgender model policies require that students play on the sports teams and use the restrooms that correspond with their sex assigned at birth. Look at me. I am a transgender man. Do you really think that the girls in my high school would feel comfortable sharing a restroom with me?
Yep. So first of all, Nico, thank you for, again, asking the question, being here tonight and engaging in this important discussion. I believe first, when parents are engaged with their children, then you can make good decisions together. And I met your dad, and I'm glad that you're both here together. That's really, really important. I also think that there are lots of students involved in this decision. And what's What's most important is that we try very hard to accommodate students. That's why I have said many, many times, we just need extra bathrooms in schools. We need gender neutral bathrooms. And so people can use a bathroom that they, in fact, are comfortable with. I think sports are very clear, and I don't think it's controversial. I don't think that biological boys should be playing sports with biological girls. There's been decades of efforts in order to gain opportunities for women in sports, and it's just not fair. And I think that's non-controversial and something that I think is pretty well understood.
I mean, we're talking about a place where you take a deuce, okay? This is not like we're treating the bathrooms like, you know, these are like holy relics or something. Like this is it's a holy sanctuary, and you go in and it's where you literally drop a deuce. Why are we acting like, stop it. And you still look like a chick. Stop it. I mean, that's would have been my, again, why I could never run for office, because I would have said that, except I would have said, you know, I'm sorry, but you're talking about a place where you take a, that's what you're doing.
Never take it. You always leave it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Like, yeah, that's a place where you leave a, it's not.
You're flirting with problems.
Why is this such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal though? Well, I just need to know. See, here's the problem. Now they want to, it's about punishing people because they use the word affirm. Well, you have to affirm someone's. Okay, that just means you have to accept as they accept. Affirmation means you have to wholly now embrace their ideology. And if you don't embrace their ideology, tolerance is non-existent with the left. They really don't believe in tolerance. They believe in full on practice and not even acceptance. Acceptance is too light of a word. You have to wholly embrace their ideology as they do. Anything less than that, they define as bigotry. I mean, the bathroom thing is so dumb. I mean, real simple. It's a real simple question here, Slick. You got a Frankenbeans? You go to the Frankenbeans bathroom. If you don't, then you don't. That's it. Ann, any questions? I mean, it's sexist either way. You know how I've always said that if men feel uncomfortable in men's rooms, they're accommodated and told that they can use women's restrooms. And then if the women feel uncomfortable, if the men are in there, they're called bigots. This goes the other way, too. If a woman wants to cosplay as a dude and she feels uncomfortable in the women's room, then they force the dudes to accommodate her. Well, what if the dudes feel uncomfortable? Oh, shut up, dudes. That's sexist. You're upending the world for a tiny fraction, tiny little. I mean, nobody has a right to a bathroom. Shut up. It's a bathroom. Golly. Everything's a felony, and they turn everything into a natural right, and everything that's a natural right isn't a natural right anymore. Yeah. Well, you can't defend yourself, but you do have a right to leave a deuce anywhere in anyone's toilet at any time. That's the trade-off you're getting here. Anyone else like a little bit disillusioned by that? Okay, I have more. Oh my gosh, are we going to get through this headline? I got more wokery for you. I'm so sorry. This is going to happen though. So, the LA Times actually wrote this story. This is the headline. How white and affluent drivers are polluting the air breathed by LA's people of color.
What?
Yes.
What?
They said that they are citing a new study, Kane, from USC researchers. And they said that it's a function of racism. The fact that all of these white, wealthy Los Angelinos, these are the individuals polluting the air for the people of color in Los Angeles to breathe. Now, just let me pause for a moment. The reason, if you were to make this article work in your head, you have to immediately accept the premise that is assumed on the onset. And that's begging the question, because they're assuming the conclusion of their premise is true. And they're just going to go into this big old long article in the Los Angeles Times based upon that. except it's not. So you would have to immediately believe at the onset of this piece, to make it again work in your mind, that there are two things that are her, that are actually real. That black people in Los Angeles don't own cars or drive. And also apparently that white and affluent people in Los Angeles have a special alien in-body filtration system that immediately filters out all the pollution and dust and other particles from their precious, precious superior lungs. Apparently you have to believe those things in order to read this article and make it work in your head. Because I just think that even intimating the, I mean, it seems kind of racist the way that they approached it, right? So they said that it's, you know, it's because it's racist. That's why cars are racist. Traffic is racist. They cite how there are more highways near minority communities than white communities. Well, guys, who was in charge of that whole highway program and all of that stuff after World War II? What party was it that did the urban planning and the Big New Deal and everything else? And all, oh, that's right, it was Democrats. Oh, yeah. But we're going to ignore that, I guess, right? I don't know. Maybe. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever read. I mean, who knew? I mean, I know a lot of black Los Angeles residents, and they have cars. All of them. Everybody I know has a car there. No one walks in L.A. That's why Missing Persons did a whole song on it. Nobody walks in L.A. They don't. It's not a pedestrian community. It was the USC Sol Price School of Public Policy. Golly. Literally everywhere is racism. This is the gold medalist this year of racism everywhere. So basically, if you don't support certain highway programs or something, are you going to be racist? I don't even know. But wait, do we not all breathe the same air?
Yeah, we do.
Is this author in the Los Angeles Times, are they arguing that the air for people of color is different than for people not of color? And like, what if you're, you know, maybe partially of color and partially not of color? Like, Kane, do you have to take turns with each nostril and breathing certain types of air?
Yeah, my left lung may be differently processing things than my right lung.
I mean, I feel like that bears investigating in terms of science and research.
I didn't think about that.
I mean, you know, Who knew? I mean, maybe, you know how we are able to make these electric vehicles and you can, they're putting these devices on them that mimic the roaring engine.
Yes.
Maybe you could put some sort of system on the car that only sends the pollution to the white people's houses.
Oh.
Just funnels it right there. I mean, I cannot even get around this. But when you look also too at the Los Angeles, the makeup, the county makeup, it's something like almost 50% are Hispanic. The white population is 25%. Asian is 14%. So are they saying that Hispanics are white? Are they white adjacent? Oh, there it is. White adjacent. Oh my gosh. This is one of the dumbest articles that I ever had the misfortune of reading. It killed several of my brain cells without the benefit of alcohol. And I feel like I'm owed an apology or some kind of restitution. You know what I mean? So I had to share it with all of you guys. We have more to come. I even have more wokery, but we also have more economics, which is kind of wokery too when you look at some of the taxes. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Little Ben Castillon by Jane's Addiction. Remember this video? You know, the boys in Jane's Addiction, they were sitting here like trying to force everybody cutting off their frankenbeans or nothing like that. He just wanted to steal a watermelon and dance around in the grocery store. That's all he wanted to do, right? Super simple. Goodness, welcome back to the program. You can sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter, and Verse. Find us at YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe. I was looking at, I don't really want to look at it anymore. I was looking at all this budget stuff. I'd actually rather look at the wokery than I would the budget, because this cannot pass the House. I really don't think that it will, but, you know, at the same time, this is a lot that they're throwing at it. I mean, it is wild how they think it's, and this would be worse, I think, too. I think if they had a House majority, it would be worse. It really would. I think it would be a lot worse. So this is just, it's pretty, pretty comical. So the $5 trillion, a lot. And a lot of middle class are going to get hit. I mean, I'm just looking at some of this stuff. Here, there's Republicans have their own budget. They want to cut back all this government spending. They don't want to penalize taxpayers with higher taxes. I mean, they're asking, why do we have to spend all of this excess cash that we really don't have on things that we're really not supposed to be spending our money on? I mean, that's including the big giant pay raise. We have too many damn federal employees. Why do we need to have a pay raise? You know what? We need to have a job cut with federal employees. We have too many federal employees. And to expand it by 87,000, I don't want these. And I really don't think it's going to be like that. I feel like Kevin McCarthy is hell bent on rebuilding any like his reputation as like a stalwart. I really am getting those vibes from him, because a lot of people were saying that he's a moderate, all this stuff. I mean, he's busting kneecaps out there right now. I will say, we're going to talk about some of this, because you better be glad this budget may not pass. We've got that. I got a whole bunch of stuff for you as well. Some 2A headlines. Stick with us. Another hour on the way next.
If you're a regular listener, then you've heard me talk about Kel-Tec and all the reasons why they're one of my personal favorites when it comes to firearms. Privately owned family company, Kel-Tec has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. Driven by creativity, Kel-Tec doesn't just copy other weapons on the market. They innovate new ones, including the new P50. The P50 platform is based around a 50-round double-stack magazine, which lays horizontally along the top of the grip. The 5.7 cartridge comes in several variants, from sporting, hunting, to personal defense, and with how easy it handles, it's smooth shooting because it's well-balanced and thus accurate. You can definitely see Kel-Tec's reliability and quality at work. The P50 is fun on the range, but it's also great for serious home protection. To find out more about the P50 and all other Kel-Tec weapons and products, check out KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Keltec, creating innovative quality firearms to help secure your world. KeltecWeapons.com.
Twitter. And even with Twitter, you cannot find actual evidence of any direct government censorship of any lawful speech. And when I say lawful, I mean non-criminal speech, because plenty of speech is non-criminal.
I'll give you one. Gentlemen's time to expire. I'd ask unanimous consent to enter into the record the following email from Clark Humphrey, Executive Office of the Presidency, White House Office, January 23rd, 2021. That's the Biden administration, 4:39 a.m. Hey, folks. This goes to Twitter. Hey, folks, wanted to use the term Mr. Goldman just used. Wanted to flag the below tweet, and I'm wondering if we can get moving on the process for having it removed ASAP.
Boom.
That is.
Could you read the below tweet?
Somebody goes boom.
And then if we can keep an eye out for tweets that fall in this same genre, that would be great. This is a tweet on the very issue that
Matt. Oh, man, Thomas, why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself? When Jim Jordan asks you a question, you just go ahead and figure Jim Jordan has every bit of dirty evidence that related to that question sitting right there in front of him. He's baiting you, and this blockhead walks right into it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of our second hour, ladies and gentlemen. You can listen from sea to shining sea across this beautiful nation. You can stream it. YouTube, Facebook. Got a discussion going on every show on YouTube. And you can also watch it, Channel 349 DirecTV. Now, this was from the ongoing subcommittee, House Oversight Subcommittee, the weaponization of government. And you have government officials going, we weren't talking to Twitter. We weren't talking to Twitter people. Oh, here's the email where you were literally saying, hey, pull this person's tweet because we don't like their bad thoughts. I mean, that's what he just did. They're lying. They're lying about this. Is golly, this is whenever Jim Jordan questions people, I just feel a warm, fuzzy feeling of satisfaction, right? It's the same feeling as getting a cup of hot cocoa and sitting by the fire as you watch your enemies burn. I'm kidding. No, that's not the last part. But that was a good line of questioning. They are absolutely hysterical. Listen to this. This audio soundbite 7. Representative Garcia asks Barry Weiss, who is a lesbian and has a partner, and Matt Taibbi, a question that I can't even believe this was asked in a professional or government setting. Listen.
By a friend, Barry Weiss?
My friend, Barry Weiss.
So this friend works for Twitter, or what is her?
Oh my God!
She's a journalist.
Sir, I didn't ask you a question. I'm now asking Mr. Schellenberger a question. Please,
yes, ma'am. Barry Weiss is a journalist.
I'm sorry, sir.
She's a journalist.
She's a journalist. Do you work in concert with her?
Yeah.
Do you know when she first was contacted by Mr. Musk?
I don't know.
You don't know. So you're in this as a threesome?
There was many more people involved than that.
There was many more people involved.
She did that
it.
On purpose.
Are you being paid to be here today, either through consulting fees,
no,
campaign contribution
absolutely
to your
not.
Next run?
Gentle ladies,
absolutely
time
you have an interview scheduled after
this woman is nuts. She was the one who was like, I don't know what a Substack is. I mean, can we not have a technologically illiterate lawmaker ask questions about this stuff? So it was Schellenberger, Weiss, and Taibbi who were there. And she was, I mean, because I think that who came out with it first? I think Barry Weiss came out there first, and you had Mike Schellenberger, and then Matt Taibbi, and then they each took turns putting out stuff on Twitter, and then I think Schellenberger would put stuff on Substack. He was the one where she was saying, "Well, I just don't know about the Substack. What is that? I don't know any. Why are you asking questions? You have again technologically illiterate." Lawmakers asking questions about something they do not understand. My gosh. They're just mad because they can't control this facilitator of discussion anymore. It was hard to watch any of her questioning. I watched a couple of clips from her. I'm not going to play them because I'm going to get frustrated and mad and throw something. Because when she was reading the questions, I would go so far as to say she didn't prep at all before this hearing, number one. Number two, she read the questions, not like somebody who wrote the questions, somebody who was familiar with the issue that they were talking about. It was like a staffer handed her a list of questions because she was just struggling over basic concepts related to different platforms. And she was just struggling through these questions. It was so frustrating to watch. Oh, gosh. It's like, why are you even here? This is such a joke. An absolute joke. Okay, a couple of other things. The White House has ruled, they've ruled out designating Mexican cartels as a foreign terrorist organization. That was Wednesday evening. They said that designating them would not grant us additional authority that we don't have at this time. That's what Karine Jean-Pierre said. She said the United States has powerful sanctions. I mean, the sanctions can be powerful. The taxing can be powerful, but they don't do that either. That's the problem. They're not even doing that. We were talking about this a little earlier, how the cartels hogtied the five of the, so you have the Gulf cartel, and then they have a little subsidiary group called the Scorpion group. Actually, it's what they're called, Scorpion group. And those were the ones who apparently went and attacked these four Americans. And the Gulf cartel hogtied them, pulled their shirts over their heads, and left them literally in the middle of the street in Matamoros for law enforcement. They had a note says that we're so sorry, and anybody who they didn't follow this is, they said it was quote indiscipline, and that these people, these those individuals didn't follow their rules and all that stuff, and they apologized to like the Americans and the families. That was very different. I mean, we laughed about it when we first talked about it last hour, like, wow, they act like they're more accountable than our own government. But trust nothing. What have I told you? What is one of my many, many, many sayings? Trust no B. I don't trust it. There's a reason why. Now, you could think that it's PR. They're trying to make themselves look. There's no way to wash dirty work and make it good work. Okay? It's still dirty work. I just think that they did not want the additional eyeballs. And some say that, and I've heard this, and I was reading a couple of think pieces on this, that it's the discussion of treating them as a terrorist organization, or it is the move to maybe send the military to battle the cartels or something like that. They want to be able to continue doing their work. So they did this as some cartel PR to show that, no, we can, we don't need you down here to do this. We can do it. We can police it and keep it safe. That's what we can do. I don't know if that's going to work, though. But, you know, the problem is that it doesn't matter because the administration is not going to do anything. When I listened to Karine Jean-Pierre, when she was stating that, no, there's no reason why, she said that there's no reason to classify them like this at this time. And she said that, oh, yeah, we have sanctions and other tools to combat these narcotics trafficking organizations, and we have not been afraid to use them. Well, no one's arguing whether or not you're afraid to use them. The issue is that you just don't. It's not that they're afraid to use them. It's that they just don't, because they need the influx at the border. I'm telling you what. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. There was a cartel that there was a cartel that was sanctioned, one cartel that was sanctioned, Treasury Department. They were a part of the Sinaloa cartel. And they are part of the network of cartels that work with fentanyl trafficking. And they apparently, they and the Jalisco New Generation cartel, CJNG, the New Generation cartel was engaged in timeshare fraud. And so they were that group was hit by the Treasury Department. But if you can, the Treasury Department can find you and hit you, that means you're pretty hittable. You know what I mean? That seems like the least you can do. And just put that out there on the table. It's just, that doesn't seem, I don't know. It just seems like you could do a little bit more. Okay, so a couple of other things. A new low. Did you guys see this story about Colin Kaepernick? Colin Kaepernick, who is a horrible player, which is why he's been out of the game for so long, and he wasn't even a valued player when he was in the game. He's completely overrated, and he is mad that he wasn't worshipped as a star player, and then he has decided to interpret that as racism instead of having to confront the fact that he just sucks. So that's really ultimately the core of the issue here. You're welcome. Free therapy. So he's now accused his white adoptive parents of, quote, perpetuating racism. And he called parts of his upbringing, quote, problematic. He has a new graphic novel called Change the Game. And he told CBS News that he knew his parents loved him, but there were still very problematic things that he went through. And he said that his parents disagreed over his hairstyle. He wanted to get, he said, cornrows so he could look like Allen Iverson. And his parents said that it wasn't professional, basically telling him he's going to have a harder time to get a job if he doesn't have a professional hairstyle. And he basically was like, that's racism. You know, when I was in college, I had shaved my head and I had piercings in my face. And my mom said that I looked unemployable. I didn't realize that she was racist. Listen to this. Audio sound by 21. This is him talking about it. This is crazy.
I know my parents love me, but there were still very problematic things that I went through. I think it was important to show that, no, this can happen in your own home, and how we move forward collectively while addressing the racism that is being perpetuated.
He took cues from his icon, so, basketball star Allen Iverson, who he said
his mom was. His parents were saying, look, you have to have a professional. I know what they were saying. You have to have a professional hairstyle. And he's like, oh, that's racist. My mom told me, she's like, you can't have that in your face. It's unemployable. You look unemployable. I guess she's racist. Who knew? Wow. Anytime parents tell you that your appearance may harm your job opportunities, who knew that was racism? Wow. So problematic. He's the male Meghan Markle. You know what? Except he actually did at least get in the big leagues on his own for a second. Suitcase Kaepernick. That's all right. I can't even. This guy is so. When does he not bitch about something? Oh, woe is him. Oh, it's the NBA. Oh, it's all this other stuff. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. No, my parents did love me. They're so mean to me. They wanted me to look nice and get jobs and be wealthy and do good. Oh, they're so mean. I mean, shut up. Gosh, you have such first world problems. First world problems. It just amazes me. There's like poor people with like one tooth together on meth sitting out somewhere in the backwoods that wish they could have these problems. Right. Golly, shut up. So tired of this. Everybody's mean to me. The cars are bad. Roads are bad. My parents just. We have a lot more to get hit as we have some headlines coming up too. We have some Second Amendment cases.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So apparently there's an epidemic of e-bike fires ripping across the country. According to New York City officials, a supermarket and an apartment building were destroyed on Sunday due to a fire caused by an electric bike. The rise in reports of lithium-ion battery fires across the area is apparently, they say, an unintended consequence of the green mobility trend. Wall Street Journal had reported a New York City fire department revealed the number of e-bike lithium-ion battery fires had more than doubled last year to 216. They've injured 40 people and killed two so far this year. I saw one. It took like a whole firefighting crew to actually deal with one of them. That's nuts. Mitch McConnell was hospitalized. He said he's going to be being treated for a couple more days and treated for a concussion. He tripped and fell at a D.C. hotel. The 81-year-old remained in the hospital Thursday being treated for a concussion, but he's expected to recover and then be back at work. That's a third senator sound now. Come on. Tiger Woods' ex claims that he sexually abused her and she's suing him for $30 million. It sounds like she's just looking for some cash. That whole headline. Sometimes I'm like, okay, the dude messed up. Now can you stop? I don't know. But he also can pick some better chicks, I think. Let's see. This is a Maryland bill. This is WSBT. That would prevent anyone from under the age of 25 being charged with felony murder. Yeah. If there's a getaway driver and they kill a pedestrian while fleeing the scene of a crime, that's still felony murder under current law. So the Democrats in the state want to remove that so that anyone under the age of 25 can't be charged. Are you going to also do that with voting? You're going to make it to where they can't vote until they're 25 too? Good grief. Where's some of the stuff? I'm like, where are you getting the ideas for this insane legislation? And the FDA approved a Pfizer nasal spray for migraines that apparently is supposed to relieve symptoms in 15 minutes. I don't believe it either. Stay with us. We got more in store.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
Healthy and corporations just begin to pay their fair share.
You know, when we talked about 28% tax rate, Ronald Reagan was 28% tax rate. You know, that wacko liberal guy, you know? The idea that that's an unreasonable amount, but I'll get into that later. Anyway.
Wow. You know, do you know why he can't actually get in that later? First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you. That's Joe Biden, who was speaking just a little bit earlier. You know why he can't get into that later? Because when Reagan took office, the tax rate was like 70%, a little above 70%. He lowered it to 28%. So be honest. And he could have lowered it still. That's one of the reasons why the tax cuts were so monumental. That was the BS that everybody had to put up with under Carter. So when Reagan took office, taxes were jacked so high, the country could barely withstand it. He cut taxes to that point. Democrats would raise taxes beyond that. The number that they've landed on now, that was after a fight with their moderates, like there's two left, Sinema and Manchin, just to get to that point. They wanted it a hell of a lot higher. They sit here and act like Reagan jacked taxes up to 28. No, he wanted them lower than that. And he was also fighting against Democrats in Congress. So get it right if you're going to quote it. I mean, hot damn, this man was in D.C. at this time. How in the hell am I, who wasn't even alive when that stuff was going down, how am I remembering this better than this old fart? Golly. I can't stand that. Stop it. Get it right. That's, I mean, he lowered it drastically. That was a huge, and by the way, he also raised revenue. And you know, one of the ways that he did this, ways that Democrats won't even consider right now. He used methods that Democrats will not even consider. He lowered the top marginal tax rate. And it was 70% in 1980. Like, technically, I was like two. So he lowered it. I was two in 1980. So I still don't really remember. But it was, by the time 1988 came around, it was 28%. He had to chip away at it. And here's the thing. While he was doing this, and this is all public information, government data, in revenue from the income tax, individual income tax, as people were taxed less, revenue to the government increased. Huh. Imagine that. The same phenomena happened under Kennedy. Yep. And that's even when you adjust for inflation and wage growth, or population growth, I should say. So that's the big difference here. Democrats aren't wanting to do any of this. Democrats are wanting to tax everything. Crypto, your Etsy transit, everything. We're going to have the debt hitting $51 trillion in 10 years. That's what his budget plan would do, because he doesn't want to cut government spending. And while he does not want to cut government spending, he also simultaneously doesn't want to continue tax cuts. They keep saying that it was reckless and irresponsible, the previous administration, with tax cuts. I thought they could have cut taxes more. They lowered the corporate tax income rate to make it, you know, it's crazy that the freest country in the world should have one of the most punitive tax systems in the world. It's ridiculous. But lower the corporate tax rate. We saw businesses booming, all kinds of good stuff happening. Revenue increased because people had more of their own money to do with what they saw fit, which is usually means they're better stewards of it than the government is. And now he thinks that and there was some spending. There was some spending initially that was cut. There was a lot of bureaucracy that was cut. The one thing I will say is that Republicans in the previous administration did not cut spending as they should have. And that was a problem, because now Democrats can say, oh, my gosh, you gave all these people tax cuts and look what it cost. No, the spending didn't decrease. That's what was the cost. The government can't look at people's revenue and be like, that's our money. That's how they justify saying tax cuts cost. That isn't your money. That's our money. You're not owed a thing. So this, him saying that is so incredibly disingenuous. And you have people out there going, oh, well, that's right. Whoa, seal clap. Jiminy Christmas. Economic illiteracy is a major problem in this country. Yeah, but that's the budget. You could not lower the tax rate doing the stuff that he wants to do, that Biden wants to do now. You couldn't do it. Because the fact that he's presenting this as I'm still going to reduce the deficit. You have a 5.2% raise for federal employees, largest since Jimmy Carter. Increasing taxes. And the tax on households is going to be what, like $100 million? So, I mean, it's crazy. Social Security tax increases. Medicare. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's... And really, nothing for the border. Nothing for that. Kind of an issue, you would think. You know, you want to make sure that you... Or, I mean, the southern border, that's a big problem, especially if we're having all this issue with the cartels. All these taxes. And we still are struggling. With jobs, revenues down. All audio soundbite 17. Janet Yellen, the fact that she says our investment in the IRS, which is a phrase I never want to hear. Listen to how she talks about the IRS here and your money.
A strategic priority for our administration this year is to work with you to effectively implement these laws. And we're seeing the early results. In just 7 months, we've seen a wave of tens of billions of dollars of investment in clean energy manufacturing across the country. And our new investment in the IRS is already paying off. Taxpayers are getting drastically improved customer service this year.
Oh, it's the customer service. The taxpayers we're stealing from, because taxation is theft, are getting good customer service. So we're treating them nicely as we stick our hands in their pockets. That's what she just said there. What a joke. Yes, they're getting good customer service. The customer service isn't the problem. The fact that they exist is. That's the issue. 87,000, the investment. What's the return on our investment? Because normally when you make an investment, you do so with the expectation of making money off said investment. I mean, we live in a realistic society. Do you work for free? Do you just out of the goodness of your heart get up at the butt crack of dawn, go into work and put in all those hours away from your family? So for free? Because you just love the people you're working for so much, you just want to do it for free. You so believe in someone else's vision that you want to do it for free. Is that the point? I mean, kudos to you if you're one of those people who can live off magic. Everybody else got to pay their bills. Everybody else has to pay to put food on the table. They got to pay to keep the lights on, to keep the house warm or cool. They have to pay for gas in their car. Now, everybody else have to pay. It's like that skit from Dave Chappelle when they were like, now tell us why you would like to work in frozen yogurt. And he's like, well, I've always had a lifelong passion because I'm broke. I mean, this investment, when you talk about investment, you should be getting a return on that investment. What is the return that we're getting? I mean, I know one thing, Kane. I don't think I can say it. That's what we're getting. I can't tell you guys that, but that's what we're getting. That's all we're getting. That's all we're getting.
Walking fine line there.
It's not a fine line. It's the truth. It's just uncomfortable, and you all know it. It's the truth. It's painful and uncomfortable. You know it. So, I don't know what the return. What return? Have you gotten a return on your investment, Kane? How much money have you made on investing in the IRS?
Oh man. How much have I made?
That amazing customer service, am I right?
I'm sorry, I have no return on investment. None. It's all negative.
I mean, they act like you show up at the IRS office and they're like, hello, would you like a chilled bottle of water? Thank you. I mean, they should be rolling out the carpet for you. Right? Rolling out the carpet. You ever go to... So, I have to say this. When I was younger, I was in college and a great aunt, I could tell that Nordstrom really liked her, because when she would go in to do some shopping in the ladies section at the Nordstrom, they'd bring her like some cool bottled water and all this stuff. And I could tell they really liked her because she spent a lot of money there. And I'm like, you know, and they really rolled out the red carpet. Like she had, I didn't know this until literally I was then years old when I learned that certain department stores had what they call these concierge, like people that you can shop through. I mean, it's kind of an amazing way to make money if you think about it, but And I was just thinking about this in terms of the IRS when I heard Janet Yellen say this. I'm like, the way that she's talking for your investment, you should be showing up at the IRS office and they'd be handing you a chill bottle of water. If you needed to use the restroom, they'd ask to even clean you off after. I mean, you know, for the investment of all the dollars you're putting in there. Would you like a glass of champagne, sir or madam? You sit down here in our most comfortable chair. I mean, really, that's, if you think about it, for that kind of money, that's the service that you should be getting. Now, pray tell, what kind of service are you getting? Janet Yellen acts like, well, the reason that you've been so mistreated is because you don't give enough of your money. This, in any other context, would be a scam, right? It would be a scam. But no, this, it's government, so it's legit. I mean, theft is theft until the federal government sanctions it. Then it's legit. Good grief. It's what it is, though. Gun running isn't gun running unless it's not legit until the federal government does it. You can't hand guns to the cartels, but we can. You know? I mean, it's this whole, it's a scam. It is a scam. So, this, man, the Medicare taxes, they want to go after those meat. It's all the class warfare, same stuff. Republicans would like to have, they had their own budget. They want cuts. Can you imagine? And if people are getting entitlements or if people are on any kind of government, any kind of program, they think that there should be some sort of, you know, evidence of trying to obtain work as well. So you don't just live off of government benefits if you are young and healthy enough to work. Oh my gosh, it's offensive though to Democrats. They find that offensive. I don't think ultimately that this is going to pass the House, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to try to take another run at it. It actually is kind of dumb for Democrats to do this close to the election. Republicans should drag it out until it's time, till it gets closer to the election. Because then that Democrats would have to sit here and argue about why they want to tax everything. Just saying. It just seems like that would probably, I think, be the best strategy. We have a couple of other things coming up, including a Second Amendment win. So via the Associated Press, Visa and MasterCard have paused a decision to track firearm purchases. You know how they were talking about affixing these codes to different purchases, and you can kind of track who's buying what? It's not really a registry, but it's kind of a registry. Well, they've decided that they're not going to do that anymore. We're going to talk about that coming up as well. We'll also get into, I got some China headlines for you. Democrats, wokery, ridiculousness, and more. We have Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up. No, not going to do that one. No, not doing that one either.
What?
Dude, let's do this one. This seems very, very. First off, Florida Man Trevor. He was like, dare you. That was literally, this the email. It was to Dana Radio. And it
Don't
said,
do that.
It said, dare ya.
Don't do it.
Dare ya. Why? Hey. Oh, no, I'm going to do it now. Now I feel, okay. Florida man tries to assault woman in Brevard County and tripped. He had his stuff hanging out of his shorts and he tripped and it got bad. I don't know how to say this. He's been arrested and charged with several felonies, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, sexual battery, false imprisonment, and robbery. So his name is Donovan Adkins. He was trying to sexually assault a woman at gunpoint. She refused and said, "You got to shoot me first." And he had been she fought him, and that's awesome. But the thing is that when it started, he apparently was trying to assault her with his stuff hanging out.
No.
And he ended up tripping and it was bad. And apparently there was some stepping on some things. And
what?
I don't know. No, dude, when don't ever. Oh, my gosh. There's no way I can talk about this story.
I think you can.
Was the dumbest way to approach a woman and try to assault her with the Frankenbeans already out, because then you're just, she's going to just totally kill you. She's going to murk you. And that's exactly pretty much what happened.
Did she stomp them out?
Yeah. She didn't care that he had a gun or not. I mean, she's just like, if you're going to be this stupid. All right, there you go. Trevor, you happy now? A woman in Florida found a 400-pound, 11.5-foot alligator in her pool. Her swimming pool that she swims in, her pool. You literally have to look in every body of water.
Yes.
Now, I saw another story. It was a Florida story that it was from a couple of years ago, though. But somebody found a gator in their attic. I don't even know, but they found a gator in their attic. This woman, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation, they arrived to collect the gator. 400-pound alligator, 11.5 feet. That is insane. Absolutely insane. Thankfully, that you know, they're all okay, and they came and they, you know, they, golly. Let's see here. Oh, I can't do this one either. No. There's also a beachgoers report an unexpected encounter with a fat, naked Florida man. Again, in Broward County. Some Florida beachgoers are describing surprise encounters with nudists at a popular stretch of sand in Broward County. Says one lady, there are big fat guys laying there like this, she said, demonstrating for the camera. I'm not even kidding you. There's apparently no federal law addressing nudity on that particular beach because it's a national park, but there are parts where it is illegal to go nude, Broward Sheriff's Office says. Or just don't. How about that? Stay with us.
So you describe that the price increases had a disproportionate effect on Black, brown, and low-income communities, families. How did the administration's actions and the ensuing drop in gas prices, how did it help those same families? We need to...
What?
How did it disproportionately...
I guess, you know, because all the white people are just swimming in their money like Scrooge McDuck or something, and... You know, the high gas prices don't bother those people. What is with this? This Cori Bush, who is such a divider. Don't say too much about her, though. Don't talk about Magic McShaman that they have with him? Her security guy? I'm making this up. It's like Magic McTeeth Fallout. Yeah. We'll make you guy. Him.
He's galactic.
Yeah. He's 109 trillion years old. I don't know. Good heavens. So, welcome back to the program. Top of the third hour. Cori Bush was saying that high gas prices only affect apparently Black and brown individuals and low income. They affect everybody. And the fact that they affect everyone, including those demographics, too, is why we need to really seriously address our energy problem. But no. I got somebody 24. That's not what she wants to do. She's got the answer. It's giving our money to this.
We need to focus on making more public investments to lower our energy demand by taking actions such as expanding public transit and installing energy efficient technology like electric heat pumps. Jeez. Mr. Drummer, how does making investments in people through safe energy systems and people benefit climate justice?
The hell is climate justice? Well, it's funny that you ask that. It is a completely made up term that is used as a veneer for just redistribution of income. That's literally all it is. That's it. That's all it is. Climate justice. It's a made-up phrase. It's a phrase used by grifters and snake oil salesmen. Climate justice. That's what climate justice is. Climate justice. This is so dumb. Yes, let's go ahead. You know what? We live in such an amazing time. We have at our fingertips a tool to learn anything we want to learn. We have all these different forms of energy, one that always replenishes itself. Oil and gas, petroleum industry. And you have far left Democrats like Cori Bush who want to take us back to the times when our light bulbs were dim and made noise. Everything sucked. Everything sucked. So it's like going backwards in time. Stop. Climate justice. That just doesn't, I'm just, golly. Doesn't make, that just makes no sense. And then, you have these issues, Audio Sunbite 26. Rashida Tlaib, all the members of the Brat Pack, I guess.
What?
Yeah. Telling Jerome Powell they have to focus on executive pay and corporate profiteering. That's going to fight inflation. Oh, my gosh.
You have a lot of economic, you know, projections, economic projections, various data, various reports that are coming out. How much, and you've studied inflation, right? I mean, obviously, it's your number one priority right now. How much is inflation impacted by these three things? Corporate profiteering, executive, egregious executive pay, and the use of share, you know, stock buybacks.
Spoken like an economic illiterate. It's embarrassing that you have... You know, as a woman, I would like to see other smart women in Congress. And I feel like it sets my sex back to have someone so economically illiterate and just absolutely purposefully ignorant, inexcusably purposefully ignorant on this issue, as Rashida Tlaib and others. Like I said, we live in an age where we have information at our fingertips. You know, autodidactism should be celebrated. You can go and teach yourself if you don't know. And yet there are people who choose to remain ignorant on these issues. They have their own egos to believe in. They don't need any facts. No, that's not... Executive pay is not what drives inflation, okay? Golly, that's not what drives inflation. Whatever corporate profiteering is, you know, because companies are supposed to make things for free. You know that, right? They're supposed to make products... This is their mindset. They believe companies should just make products and give them away to you for free. I mean, who makes the products? That's what they forget. Like, who? They have a labor force that does that. They have a manufacturing team that does that. There are people who do the packaging and the delivery. I mean, all of this. So are they supposed to work for free too? That's what Democrats, their plan and attack against corporations and all of that, it fails. No, that's... People making money on goods or services, that is not what drives inflation. Sending hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine drives inflation. Saying that you're spending money on infrastructure for 10 years and then you don't in 10 years actually spend any money on infrastructure and you waste it all on other stuff, entitlement spending, and then you have to come back and say we're going to need more money for infrastructure like three more times, that actually drives inflation. When you have a government that wants to spend more money than it can feasibly bring in, that drives inflation. Not this. There's a good piece at the New York Post that gets into some of the taxes, particularly on Social Security. You know, it would be one thing, and I don't agree with this. I know some have made the argument. And they've said, look, you could try to defend taxes. If you were cutting spending and you actually had a plan for a reduced deficit and a balanced budget. So even with this, though, here we're having a massive high tax burden and we still have $17 trillion in new deficits. That doesn't make sense. That's so stupid. I mean, we would have... I mean, our spending, according to, this is a good write-up by Brian Reidel, would surpass 25% of our GDP for the first time after World War II and the pandemic. Not a single cent, by the way, goes towards averting the insolvency of Social Security. Now, what that means is that Democrats, all the money that my parents, grandparents, everybody paid in, all their Social Security money's gone because they took it and they spent it on other stuff. Now they don't have nothing in there. There's no reason in hell why it should be insolvent. But it's insolvent because they took your money. They stole from you. And now they're like, oh man, we're going to have to tax people. Everybody's going to have to pay to make up that money. And so they don't even address that in this budget. That's the other thing. They don't address it. But as Kane notes, and as we've talked about over and over again, all the government would have to do is to stop their spending. Cut anything that is outside of their constitutionally directed spending. Article 1, Section 8. Anything beyond that, they'd have a budget surplus. There's a really good thing that Dan Mitchell was talking about this on break. Dan Mitchell, I think Art Laffer did. like 10 years ago, and they looked at cutting, you know, what would it look like if you cut all of these different unnecessary programs, anything that was beyond what the federal government should be doing. And what they determined was a ridiculous budget surplus. You could have the lowest tax rate and still have a budget surplus. But see, the reason that we are in this problem is because of unchecked spending. There's no other reason. That's it. And you have, for instance, some of the stuff too, the solutions, even the tax solutions that they propose in here don't do anything. Reitl writes that Biden relies on new general fund transfers that don't actually save the government any money. It doesn't change the trajectory of Medicare's $80 trillion shortfall over 30 years. And see, the problem, too, when the way that they present this stuff, they're like, oh, it's, you know, $5 trillion in taxes. And then Democrats come out, oh, but it's for the rich. But people don't realize this. They're including corporate taxation in this. That means more inflation because they can't just eat the cost. Would you eat the cost? And this is not coming out of people's salaries. I mean, this is crazy. This whole tax the rich thing is the refuge of the economically illiterate. I think everyone should be required to take an economics class before graduating K through 12 education. I think you should have to take it. That should be an absolute requirement. Economics. I don't care about the physical fitness stuff. I think it's so stupid. Like in college, they even make you take some of that stuff. I get some of the criticisms. It's a racket. You got to take this. You got to take that. It's stupid. Take what your major is. The whole higher education needs to be completely deconstructed, torn apart, and redone. Economics should be a necessity. That should be a requirement. So should logic. It's crazy. Now, you guys remember when we had the Icemageddon here? We remember it well. It's one of the reasons we got a big old honking generator. Now we're just like waiting for a storm. But you remember when we had Icemageddon here and everything Texas froze and Ted Cruz was going to go on a vacation with his family? And oh my gosh, the media, CNN, MSNBC, they were going crazy. And it was, you know, it was weird for Texas to go through that. California's been going through a major snowstorm. Gavin Newsom very quietly went to Mexico during the entire time. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, he went to Mexico. You didn't know that?
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was no, there wasn't any like headlines about him going. There wasn't any photo of him in the suitcase or him in the airport with the suitcase. No, he went over and he was vacationing. He didn't say where he was going either. He just returned some days later. All these people hadn't had power for 2 weeks. They had volunteer search and rescue teams who were finding, there were stories of elderly people freezing to death in their homes. And the media immediately came out. No, this is not Gavin Newsom's Ted Cruz moment.
Why not?
Oh, because it's different. I mean, there were people who were stranded, all of it, and he left on a vacation. Didn't tell anybody where he was going. His office wouldn't give any details to the press either. Now, then he came back all tanned and rested. And then he requested a presidential emergency declaration after the blizzard. No, he left his state. So that's no, it's not different. And Ted Cruz was a senator from Texas. He wasn't the governor. Gavin Newsom's the damn governor. Even more responsibility that he has. And he left. There were literally Californians trapped who could not get help. And Gavin Newsom left. Went to Mexico. He was in Cancun, enjoying the sun and the surf in Cancun. And people were, I mean, now if you say Cancun with regards to politics, people say, what do they say in response? Ted Cruz. Mm-hmm. San Bernardino, Humboldt, all kinds of counties and others hadn't had power for 12 days. So they were at, remember this follows, Red State had a list, his French Laundry dinner, Or do you remember in Thanksgiving 2021, right after he extended the COVID state of emergency, he took his family to a $29,000 a night Cabo estate owned by a Russian oligarch? Mm-hmm. People actually died. People died, and he was vacationing. And he's the governor. Not a senator represent. He's the governor. But it's different. We have more to come. As we roll down here towards the, is this our bottom of our third hour? Relatively fast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
And unsurprisingly, mortgage rates rise for the fifth straight week. Yeah, they're edging further towards 7%. Fifth week in a row, as the Federal Reserve suggests rate increases will continue amid stubborn inflation. The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged 6.73% the week ending March 9th, up from 6.65% the week before. That's according to data from Freddie Mac released Thursday. A year ago, 30-year fixed rate was 3.8. Yeah, so not getting any better, folks, unfortunately. Also, this seems like a bad idea. Like, I really feel like a lot of horror movies have started kind of like this. Have we seen this before? Scientists have revived a zombie virus that spent 48,500 years frozen in permafrost. Now, quick question. How do we know this hasn't already been released and been circulating for the past 10 years? It would explain so much, right? No, they say that the permafrost, that this, it's not a good storage medium, apparently. But they said that they're worried about viruses that have lied dormant that could endanger. Really, though? I don't know. You know what? Then we deserve it. I don't care. That's, if it's that or smog. Big virus or big smog. One of the two. So this is Business Insider. Reese's is calling its new peanut butter cups plant-based. What? It uses oat milk. This one uses oat milk instead of dairy milk. I feel like that phrase is getting abused, right? Stick with us. We got more in store. Back after those.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe. The Dana Show.
The president is just going back to the old dogma from the left of raising taxes after you've blown out the spending and you have to try to do something. But his tax increases will be a disaster for the economy. Look, raising the capital gains rate to 39.6, you might as well just tell everybody to stop investing and stop taking gains off the table. That's number one. Number two, raising the corporate rate back to 28% would make us significantly less competitive across the globe. It would actually diminish our ability to grow economically.
Yeah, he's right. That's Byron Donalds out of Florida. He is absolutely right. Welcome back to the program, bottom of this third hour. Dana Lash here with you. You realize what that's going to do to business growth. I mean, investment, everything. It's like if you wanted to totally tank the economy and make everyone's life hell, this is exactly what you would do. Makes me think it's on purpose. What else are you supposed to think when you take these kind of moves? I keep seeing this headline about the Silicon Valley Bank. The Manhattan branch called cops on investors trying to pull their cash out. A Boston Tech CEO with $10 million in the bank said it was the worst 18 hours of my life. There were a dozen financiers, including former Lyft executive Dor Levi, who showed up outside of the building today. They were blocked from entering. They called the cops. Man, I'm telling you, that's all in after the FDIC. They seized the bank's assets today as the depositors. They're all startup firms, tech workers, began taking their money out after this shock announcement of a $1.8 billion loss. But investors are only insured up to $250,000. Jeez. There was one CEO of a Boston wellness firm who said she lost $10 million. I mean, there were a lot of startups that use that as their sole account and creditor. I mean, oh man. It's man. By the way, you can always tell if someone's a tech executive because they're in black with tennis shoes and they got a backpack. What is with that? Right? It's like the San Francisco pea coat and glasses dude look. I'm just saying. Yeah, there's, oh man, this is just, it's so bad. This is so bad. I feel like we need to get Charles Payne on. I'm out next week, but I think after when I come back, we got to have Charles Payne on. Because I either need Charles to tell me how tall the cliff is I should jump off of, or he's going to talk us away from it. Because there is, I also think, not that this is not a crisis. I mean, this is bad. All of this is, all of these signals are bad. Rates are going to get higher. Inflation's going to get higher. This, and if this bill, God help us all, if this bill passes the House, it's like a bomb going off the economy. We were doing so good coming out of the pandemic. Considering, which we should have locked our economy down. But now, telling you what. Okay, so I have a couple of other things I want to, I know, we need to lighten it up. It's Friday, come on. Oh, I want to get, well, kind of, well, let me get this first. So some two-way stuff. I'm sure that you've seen these, it's kind of like, it's sort of like a its own Operation Choke Point, but the Visa, MasterCard, and some of these other credit card purchasers, they were going to start categorizing using special codes like firearm purchases made at firearm stores, FFLs. Now they say that they're not going to do that anymore. They made the decision out today that they will not, actually out last night, will not be doing this, which is, that's a nice victory. They were going, I mean, this would be allowing people to credit and debit card purchases. It would allow authorities to see, like, if you purchased, you know, you went to a gun store and you purchased, a handgun or some ammunition or something like that. Thankfully, these payment facilitators got a lot of pushback. A lot of pushback. And they should. There were also 24 Republican state attorneys general who wrote a letter to these facilitators, these payment networks, threatening legal action if they moved forward with it. And there are several bills from the AP in several state legislatures across the country that would ban the tracking of these purchases at gun stores. And that would have actually made it even more difficult for Visa and MasterCard to implement this categorization system. Now, Visa had indicated in a statement that pushback and the legal fights in some of these different states is partially the reason that they have paused their implementation. Now, it doesn't mean that you just, you know, dust your hands off and you're done with it. Pause the implementation. Didn't mean they stopped it. It's just paused. They said that there is, quote, significant confusion and legal uncertainty in the payments ecosystem and the state actions disrupt the intent of global standards. Now, Visa and MasterCard have said that the reason for the categorization for purchases at gun stores was out of their hands. They had cited the International Organization for Standardization. That's apparently the outfit that categorizes and uses and applies these merchant codes that are used when these payments are made. And Visa and MasterCard were saying, oh, we're just following their decision. And so when this change, when people were pushing back against this, they were actually going to the International Organization of Standardization more so than Visa or MasterCard. But there's no reason to do this. I mean, anyone who's seen Operation Choke Point and the way to financially browbeat and treat punitively through the financial system, whether it's gun stores or pawn shops or any kind of company that people don't like because of their politics. I mean, there's no reason to give them more leverage to do that. None. None at all. So that was some good news here. That was to see that victory. It's nice to finally have a victory. Good heavens. Now, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we are getting into. We hit the Newsom thing. I have some... You guys remember Tony Podesta, right? Everybody remembers the Podesta. Good friends of Barack Obama. Helped to facilitate the purchase of his Chicago mansion. Y'all remember that. Guess who just hired him? As a guess who just hired him?
Different commies?
Uh huh.
Oh.
Huawei.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The CCP giant telecom system. They paid him $500,000 to lobby the White House. Now they've apparently he's making some fat cash. He started working for them a few months ago. And he's a lobbyist for them now. Tony Podesta is literally a lobbyist for a CCP company. This is wild. I mean, is anybody surprised about that? Now, the news is just making the rounds now, but it came out a couple of months ago. But I don't think anybody's surprised about that. I mean, this is the Podestas, those brothers have their hands in everything. In fact, one of the brothers, he was the one who wanted to get involved in Libya. He wanted to be their nation building in Libya. He was one of the reasons why the Obama-Biden administration with Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State were pushing to get Gaddafi out. Good grief. So in addition to that, you have this headline that comes from the Washington Examiner. Top U.S. high schools have collaborated with Chinese state military affiliated institutions. So they talk about how one of the top public schools in the United States got hundreds of thousands of dollars from groups tied to Chinese military. It's the Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology, part of Fairfax County Public Schools, consistently ranked as one of the top in the nation. Its ties to Beijing, the Examiner notes, have been largely unknown until now. They partnered with a Chinese institution, and they said it was for STEM program. But there's a lot of questions about the financing, the CCP influence, the board of directors. There's a lot of questions. Parents Defending Education. By the way, I will have you note, that was the group that was founded by a Democrat mom, a Democrat Muslim mother. And so they can't really sit here and portray it as being just one demo or another. They were the ones who, they helped unearth this. They were running it down. Fairfax is where they got started. At Virginia schools, that's where all of that kicked off. And in fact, Parents Defending Education, their president, one of their officers said, "We already knew that the Chinese Communist Party infiltrated America's colleges and universities through the Confucius Institute programs." They said it was frightening to see the same thing occurring through K-12. It's very subversive. Very subversively done. Now, on top of this, you have the story of China there have been stories of the farmland and the military academies. Free Beacon has some really good pieces on this as well. I think I put some of this in your prep. This is why I say not enough attention is being paid to this issue and being paid to the expansion of CCP activities. Not enough at all. So I'm just kind of just sort of shocking here. In the meantime, I wanted to get this audio in real quick before, because I have a couple of other things I want to make sure I hit. Audio Soundbite 12. Listen to this. This is Jennifer Granholm. So we've been hearing about, we were told that we were conspiracy theorists for gas stoves, et cetera, et cetera. Listen to this, Audio Soundbite 12.
This evening, we've done that survey, and I want you to know what was on everybody's mind, number one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you going to take away our gas stove?
Oh, my gosh. I hope you're kidding about that being the number one. But the answer is nobody is going to take away anybody's gas stove. It's honestly, that's like such a blown up, ridiculous thing. But we did put out some, the Department of Energy does a lot with appliance regulation, making sure they're more efficient, right? And so we did put out guidance for both electric stoves as well as gas stoves, like we do for all the other appliances. And, you know, nobody's taken away anybody's gas stove if you like it. But we do love the induction stove.
But wait a minute. It's a blown up ridiculous thing, but we're actually doing it. And this is what we're, you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth on this stuff. I mean, this is one of the reasons why this story was huge in the first place. Then you had, what is it, the AFL-CIO, the Nepo baby whose dad was head of AFL-CIO, Trumka, the Nepo baby Trumka, who was running, what is it, consumer services, saying that, yes, this is something that needs to happen. It's very important. No, I don't think so. We have Today in Stupidity coming up.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app, weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
And that's on top of 500,000 jobs we added the month before. All told, we've created more than 12,000 jobs since I took office.
What? Okay.
12,000?
Yep. Not sure that's something you want to brag about, but
yeah, I mean, especially what was their, what were they projecting? Welcome back to the program. Oh my gosh. This is just so just wild. This is a weird news day. We were talking about, we keep talking about this SVP stuff in the on break, because that's the bank that was, that, I mean, basically the FDIC had to go in and seize it. And they'd call the cops at the Manhattan branch and all this stuff. But they were also so exposed, like with tech, and it seems irresponsibly run. And I don't know, I got a million questions. Because I was telling Kane, I'm like, there are so many people. I see like multiple attempts by multiple entities to use this for multiple different narratives. And I agree with what you said, Kane, because we were talking about on break. It is kind of a, it is, I mean, a wealth redistribution scheme. It really is.
It is. Because people trust banks. That's where they put their money. They're always told, put your money in the bank. Quit putting it in your mattress or in a shoebox. Make money by putting it in the bank. And you have this insurance, this FDIC. Well, people have found out that if banks are not responsible with their money, they could actually lose it. Anything beyond that coverage of the FDIC. So
yeah, one woman at $10 million, she's like a wellness thing. $10 million only gets a quarter of a million insured. Right. That's crazy.
Right.
That is crazy. I mean, those people are panicking. There's some questions here.
So the failure of SVB would essentially, that would be the second largest bank failure in U.S. history,
mm-hmm.
and the largest failure since 2008.
I don't know. Kind of makes me want to go and bury stuff in the backyard. Kinda. Not my backyard, just a backyard, so nobody knows where to look. Right, just like a random backyard. Yeah, nobody'll know. I don't know. I feel like I need something stupid. I had some stupid stories. It's Friday. It has to be a little, you know, we got to lighten it up a little bit because it's Friday. Now, I will say, you know what? Who was a bright spot last night when I was reading through stuff is Joan Collins. If I can pull this up because Google Docs has decided to be stupid. She actually came out and was saying that all of this stuff with the wokery and everything else is actually, she went off on it. She was saying that it's actually having a horrible effect on women, and it's to the contrary. I mean, I labeled it as anti-woke. She was saying that women's freedoms are being eroded by political correctness.
She's right.
She's absolutely right. I love that, like, some of these, you know, these old school, like, strong, like, she is shoulder pads as a person are coming out and saying this stuff. All right, I'm going to be out next week, but I will be back behind the mic on the 20th. In the meantime, we have Today in Stupidity. Now, I'll have some stuff at Substack, chapter and verse coming out still.
The Harpies on the View brought on Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. And Jane Fonda said this about pro-life Republicans. Listen to this.
I don't care what the laws are. We're not going to.
I think the women will rise up.
That's the activist.
That's Jane
speaking. Yeah. And she probably will get a Nobel Prize.
But it's the truth.
Very soon.
It is the truth. We're not going to do it.
Besides marching and protesting, what else do you suggest?
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not a miraculous. What did you say?
Murder.
Murder. Murder.
Her hair's blue.
Oh my
God. Just me, right? Not in a punk way. Anyway, that does it for us today. Yes, I did mean to be mean. God bless, folks. Have a great week. I'll be back with you on the 20th.